copying the end of it. I got Ray Winstead / Maddie, but was it M? I wrote M-I-D-D-Y, but I think it should be M-A-D-D-Y. I can probably, give me the last part of it. Maddie, RayWinstead.com, and what's the rest of it?
Winstead.com/Maddie, I spell Mike Alpha Delta Delta Yankee, / Maddie singing Sierra India November Golf, India November Golf, Papa Sierra Uniform, Sierra Hotel Oscar Whiskey, Charlie Alpha Sierra Echo dot HTM, and everything after the second / Maddie singing PSU Showcase is all one word.
The last part / Maddie singing PSU Showcase dot HTM.
Oh, Tango Mike. Now, if according to what my brother said, he said this is linked from RayWinstead.com/Maddie/. So if you just go to .com/Maddie/, it may be a direct link to the other one. I haven't been on it yet.
I don't think we'll cut. That sounds cool. But I was going to tell you, so like one thing, I don't know if you know about this, but it's like when you're doing a loop, I think there's a couple ways you can set it up to where you can set it up to where the loop is, how do I say this? It's like you, if you're running coax, you run the loop, or you run the coax to the very top of the loop. So it's like the loop starts at the top of the feed point, like the top of the tree. But then there's another way you can do it to where you short out that vertical portion of the coax, and then it kind of becomes like a radiator of the signal too. So you might look online. There's a couple ways that you can do a loop, and I think you can, if you did the loop, you might be able to short it out from the bottom and make it to where you could use it both ways. So then it would radiate. I think it makes it to where it radiates horizontally and vertically. But I think with, like you're saying, like about 500 feet, I think it, like you're saying, it should be able to work 160 and above. Because the full width loop will radiate harmonics of whatever the fundamental is. So if, like, say if it were resonating at like 1.8 megahertz, then it would also resonate at 3.6 megahertz and 7, and then also whatever 3 times that is, and then also, so it would end up hitting all the ham bands. You might not even hardly need to use the tuner if you like kind of cut it exactly with the right frequency and figured out where that lower frequency is and all the multiples of it.
From the web, and he ran it off with his computer to find out what length would work and what would not work based on wavelengths. And it looks like if I can get it out to around 500 feet, it would cover just about everything, maybe with the tuner. And so I'm still kind of looking to see just what would be involved with doing that. And I'm not sure. I saw one advertisement for copper-clad steel wire with insulation on it, and it said they liked that because it was very flexible, as opposed to some of the stuff you get at one of the box stores, which is coiled and would not be as flexible in pulling it through the trees.
I think about a 500-foot roll of... I'll have to look at the gauge on it. I think it was like 14 gauge. I don't think it's 16. Maybe it's 16. I don't know. But it's no bigger than Sin 14, and it is it's stranded with like a black insulation on it, and I don't think that would be hard to pull through the trees. There was one, when I was pulling some of the paracord through the tree, it was harder because it's like fabric, you know, and it would, if the tree was rough, it kind of wouldn't slide between the trees easily. So what I did was I had some of these, when I redid the electrical in a house I used to live in, and I still had like a big bottle of that wire lubricant stuff when you're pulling wire through the walls, and I just like slathered that on some of it, put it in my hand, and just like wiped it all over it. And when I pulled that up in the tree, it's like super slippery, so it's water soluble, so it's not like it's gonna like hurt anything when it rains, so just like wash off. But I pulled that, and it was kind of stuck at a certain point, getting through the like a crook in the tree. And when I put that on there, it just like slipped right through it. I think with the insulator on it too, it was kind of hung up on part of it and just like popped right over where I was trying to get it. So I've got a bottle of that. You can borrow it because I'll probably never use up all of it. It's probably like about a gallon of it.
Pretty good. Let me give you a site here that you might find interesting. Let's see. The title of this is The Best Random Wire Antenna Links. I did a search on that, and I came up with hamuniverse.com. hamuniverase.com for random wire antennas. And he's got a list of frequencies not to use because they create a problem of multiples of half wavelengths. And then he's got several to use. The problem I have with it, I think, is he did these for CW, so it would be off a little bit for voice. But then he references another one which has different frequencies, slightly different frequencies, and it goes in this article. There's a link to go to one called a ham random wire, and he also plots it to use, and both of them together form an interesting combination as far as random wire links.
This is very similar to the stuff that was on that Palomar engineering stuff that I was talking about. So the NFED that I'm using is 268 feet, and it's got a Balun on it that's 9-to-1. So it's converting like 450 ohms to 50 ohms. And I think the thinking behind it is just like what you're talking about, where it's not supposed to resonate anywhere in the ham band. It's resonating like outside of the ham band. But when you put the Balun on there, it converts the impedance, so then it works within the ham band. And it actually works on all the frequencies. So he had a chart where certain lengths would work. So I picked one that was the longest, and that was like 268 feet. But I think it's based on the same principle that what you're talking about.
Reading this and the other stuff, that's kind of what I'm looking for. And since I've got the room, I was wondering about a vertical. I'm on the side of a mountain. I don't really like the vertical in the trees. And I don't really have a good setup to use a dipole. I found another one that they call a fountain, which has about four or five wires cut to the different frequencies. And they all join together in one box and then are supported like a fan. So I'm looking at that as a possible one. You said something about emergency stuff. Do you deal with anything as far as field day emergencies or anything like that?
I want to go check out field day when they do it here. I think it's going to be the end of end of June, I think. I want to go just check it out. I did that only one time when I used to live out in California, but my thought with it is one of the reasons I got back into ham radio. I've been out of ham radio for about 20 years, and I got back into it last year. Bought a Yaesu FT-91A and a handheld and a police scanner, and you know, my thinking was that I wanted something to be able to help out if we had like some kind of really crazy big disaster. I don't know, I was kind of a little bit pessimistic about things, and I could see something happening potentially, and I don't want to be you know, sitting around thinking, oh man, I wish I would have a ham radio, I wish I would have done this or that. So now I have stuff set up, and I like the InBed so much that, and it works so well because we have a camper. So I thought, you know, if something really bad happened, we take the camper, go off anywhere, and bring a generator, and I could just fire the ham radio antenna up into the tree, and the camper has a TV antenna on it, and I've got a radio in it for, you know, like AM, FM radio, and we'd be able to just, you know, go somewhere, and even if we lost electricity or internet or whatever, we'd still be good and be able to help out. I want to join some more things and like maybe get involved in emergency communication stuff, but just haven't done it yet. But at least I'm set up to where if something were to happen tomorrow, I'd be able to use my radio portable.
This thing, another, I found a app to go on the iPhone. It's called ARRL, and it references all the previous publications, the QST and On the Air and stuff like that. And it's free, so you can get on there and reference back to magazines. And the article that I'm looking at was in May of 2020, and it's called The Fountain Antenna. So if you can look up that, it might give you some ideas, because he wanted it, let's see, that would let him simulate emergency conditions during both the build process and operation of the antenna. And he's got a quick way of building this thing that'll cover four frequency bands. And it would be something you could roll up and put in a shoebox. He's got it for 60, 40, 20, and 30 meters on the example he used. So that's something that you might want to look at. The other thing, if you look up my call in the QRZ and then use the address and go to Google Earth, you can zoom in on my house and you'll see what the terrain looks like.
I'll take your call again, sir. Write it down.
D8RON, Whiskey Delta 8, Romeo Oscar November.
Call is AC6IW, Alpha Charlie 6, India Whiskey. Yeah, the thing I liked about the InBed, though, is just one single piece of wire, and I could just have to hook that up, and you can put it in a lot of different configurations, where it could be like a, you know, where you could run it horizontal, or you could run it like an L, or you could, it's just, you know, it's not like, it doesn't have to be set up a certain way, and it will, with 268 feet, I can work every band from 160 all the way up to 6 meters, so it works great. It'll tune everything. The Yaesu 991A has an automatic antenna tuner inside of it, and it will do, I mean, I don't know because you're on the 820, but a lot of these newer radios have tuners in them, but I don't think they'll match things that are way too far off with a mismatch, and that's why some people go with an external antenna tuner. But this is pretty close on everything, so it doesn't have to do that much to bring it right on in tune.
You said you're in Greenville. How far are you from Tryon?
I think Tryon is probably about 45 minutes away, I think. Brevard is probably about 45 minutes to maybe a little under an hour for me, about an hour.
There's a club there in Tryon called Thermal that you might be interested in looking out at. They are starting to do a lot with Simplex for emergency situations because they're concerned about if the repeater goes out, how can they communicate with each other.
I wonder, it'd be interesting to know how long the repeaters can survive on emergency power. I bet they all have generators on them, but I don't know. But you know, if you have HF, probably my next thing I want to do is get something more with emergency power. Either getting a nice generator that filtered power on it where it's not going to create interference on the radio, or doing something with like a battery backup thing with solar panel or something like that. I might do something like that, be able to put panels on the top of the camper so that it could do that. But, I mean, that stuff costs more money than I feel like spending right now. But something like that, I think, could be useful. But with the radio that I have, the 991A, it basically does everything from 160 up to 2 meters and 440. That's what I'm using now. So with the one radio, all I'd have to do is just have the one wire, and I've got an antenna for my car that does 2 meters and 440. That's pretty good. But I could put up something else too, or maybe a roll-out antenna for 2 meters and 440, or a portable beam or something. I don't know, but I like operating HF, so I kind of thought that if we did have some kind of a big disaster, that be able to get out beyond even using a repeater. That's kind of my thinking with it. And I don't know if you've listened on HF or done anything yet, but right now it seems like at night, like the last several nights, I've heard people on 20 meters from, and actually worked them from like Russia and Poland and Saudi Arabia and Czech Republic, and it's like the conditions are really good right now, so that's kind of cool.
The reason I want to get this thing set up, I've got to get the radio checked out before I crank it up because it's so old. I've got somebody over in Hendersonville who's going to check it out for me, but I want to make sure it's checked out before I fire it up because of the age of it.
Are you talking about that? Because I've heard some people say that, like, when the radios are older, the capacitors will go bad, and they'll have to rebuild the capacitors or buy new ones or something like that. So that might happen because it'll be good to have it looked over, especially with how old it is and stuff. But it should be great once you have it all set up. But if you're possibly up on Google Earth, but if you're up in the mountains up there, you're probably... I mean, I bet it's probably pretty quiet because you're probably pretty far away from power lines and other things that are making noise, right?
Country, but I'm next to some power lines, but I'm not sure what kind of noise they put out.
So we'll figure that out once you put your antenna up. But I bet you'll have really, like, with doing a full wave loop, I think 500 feet would put you to full wave loop on 160 meters, because I think the calculation is 468 feet. Anyway, I think it's somewhere around like 468 feet or a full wave loop at 160, but that should work great for you. I'm pretty excited to see what you'll be able to hear. And then what some people do for listening, like I told you about that guy that did the CW really fast. This place that was on the top of this mountain in Malibu had long wires that were at least 1,000 feet, maybe 1,500 feet, maybe like six of them. sent, each one was like pointed to a different direction. Like one went in the direction of Australia, one went in the direction of Japan, another one went, I think, to like Canada, another one to South America, and another one, I think, was kind of directed at Europe. And I talked lower sideband from Malibu, California to somewhere in Australia on 160 meters, and I could hear the guy really well. I've never done anything like that on 160 meters except that. So if you've got the space up there, and even if it's not, even if you've got property around you that your neighbors didn't share, you could run some really long wires for the purpose of listening. And that's what some people do, where they'll have a switch that when you're transmitting, it'll switch back to the other antenna so they can, and then this guy had it set up where it was a selector switch that allowed him to select the one pointing in the right direction, and it was pretty awesome. And but you have to have space to do that. I don't have enough space like that, but you might.
Deal there. If you have a long wire of whatever length, and it is going from the origin point up a mountain at about a 45 degree angle, what kind of pattern would you get from that?
I'm not really certain about the pattern of it, but I can tell you this place in Malibu was at the top of the hill, and the long wire ran down the sides of the hill. Because we were, I mean, it was in the dark when we went up there. We were probably like, it was crazy. We did this gig and ended about 2 o'clock in the morning. We probably went up there at about 3:30, and we had to drive up go through several locked gates up this really rough, washed out dirt road, and we got up to the top, and there was this little cinder block building. I think they had like a homebrew amplifier too that I'm sure was illegal. I think it put out like maybe 5 or 6,000 watts, maybe 10. It was huge. But we didn't even really need it because the antenna for listening was so good, and the location was so good. So that's what I'm thinking. If you're on a mountain and it's coming off the mountain and maybe angled, it might make the pattern like go diagonally go like not exactly up in the air, but you know, halfway between vertical and horizontal. That might actually be better, I don't know. But I mean, you could try it, and then if it didn't work, just move the wire a different way or something.
It is something to try, I hadn't thought about. Now on the long wire, when you connect it to the coax, you've got probably your center wire going to the long wire. What about the ground wire? Do you just ground that out, or how do you handle that?
Set up, I don't know. But, I mean, I guess, I think some people would probably put radials on it, and you put them at, like, I think what some people do is do the radials at a quarter wave of the frequency that you're at, and you can do those, like, say if you wanted to do multiple frequency bands, some people put a radial that's a quarter wave at one band and a quarter wave at another one, so you could have multiple radials coming out, and then that resonates at those frequencies. So it's kind of like you're describing that other antenna where it had multiple wires, where the radio frequencies will just pick the one that it wants to resonate on, and just because it wants to like resonate on whichever one it's matching up with. The way the InFed works that I'm using is the 268-foot wire portion. It's attached to the center part, and then the outer shield, and then that goes into a 9-to-1 balun, and then the outer shield of the coax acts as a radial. And it goes back into it's 115 feet, and the 115 feet, I think, works out as like a quarter wave or something at 160 meters. It works on the other bands, and then it goes into a choke that's like this big long thing, probably about a foot long, with a whole bunch of toroid cores in it, and then then another piece of coax goes under that, and it goes underneath my house and up into my, about another 75 feet, and then it goes into my radio in the house. But that outer shield of the coax, about 115 feet, is essentially a radial coming off the antenna. So you can either do it that way or run a bunch of different wires off it. So, I mean, that's something to play around too, because that might help you out.
Give me an idea of something to try, which I hadn't thought about before. When I was in Korea, we ran what we called a hotline on a field telephone about, it was maybe 15 miles long to another field telephone. And when you picked up the telephone, you could hear the local AM radio playing because that wire acted just like a radio.
Yeah, AC6IW for ID. Yeah, I bet it was probably just at the right frequency to, like, resonate. I've heard different things, too. Like, I forgot what the length of it is. When I was also talking to this guy about grounding stuff, he was saying that, like, I have a ground strap going from my radio out to a ground rod outside my window, and he was telling me not to get it. I forgot what the length was, but I bought like a smaller piece of grounding strap, and he said, well, don't do like, I don't know, 15 feet or 20 feet or something, because it'll like resonate and turn into another type of an antenna to receive noise and stuff. So I think that's some of it too, is keep your grounding stuff, I think, as short as you can, so it won't receive interference and stuff too. But mine literally just runs out the back of the radio underneath the window shut, and it just runs right underneath the windows. It's closed down and probably like one foot out my window, and I drove a 8-foot rod into the ground. So it works well. But I think I want to get, there's an ARRL book. I need to get that free ARRL app, because I am a member, but there's a book that they have on grounding that I wanted to get and read to see how they do. And they had a book that I used to have years ago that was on wire antennas, where it tells you like a whole bunch of information about all different kinds of wire antennas and things that people have built. So there's a lot of neat stuff out there that people have tried. So it's kind of cool to do that. But I mean, it's cool that you've got space. So I mean, and you should just like start out with one and see if you like it, and if it doesn't work, change to something else. Like I've got a full wave 40 meter loop in my attic, and I don't even use it because I like the infed, and in my attic it picks up noise. So I'm thinking about trying to take it somewhere and like sell it, because I mean I don't need it, you know, I don't use it, because the outside infed is actually quieter and gets out better.
Yeah, I've been interested in antennas and done some studying about them, but I haven't really played with them that much. When I was in the Army, we used tactical stuff, and that's when we used the long wire. And most people think that if you say you're Station A and you want to talk to Station B, that you point the long wire directly at B, but you actually don't, because the pattern comes off the sides of the antenna, starting at the entry point, but the lobes go off to the side of, depending on the length of it, say 15 to 20 degrees, so you'd want to offset the direction of the wire to get the stronger signal to the receiving station.
I think my antenna, though, goes off to the east, like in the direction of maybe Southern Europe or Northern Africa, but I seem to get out that direction, but like you're saying, I should be the long wire is probably radiating more towards like Canada and like, you know, down diagonally, probably out in the middle somewhere. But I mean, my problem is that I don't have trees or anything to hook it to in the other direction, and unless I like went across the road into the, it just wouldn't work. So I just used the trees that were the only options that I have. But the other thing I'm thinking about, you was doing a loop. It might be better to do the loop completely horizontal as opposed to like having one end of it be 20 feet and the other one up at like 50. You know, because if you did that, it might point it in a different direction. You know, so but maybe that's better. I don't know. So there's so many cool things. There's one kind of antenna I saw where I've always thought it'd be cool to be able to do it where I think they do this on broadcast stuff where they will put maybe like four antennas, four verticals, I mean really tall ones, and then they'll phase them so that you can actually put them in a certain phase so that you can selectively point it in one direction or not. So with the, you know, with how you hook up that, you could say, oh, I'm going to switch it so it goes with the four antennas. I'm going to point it to Europe, or I'm going to point it to the West Coast or South America by changing something. But again, you need space for that. But I mean, there's the more property you have, you can do a lot of cool stuff.
It has to be real interesting. You've probably seen semi-trucks with an antenna on each side of the cab, and they basically are phased so that the direction of the signal is going fore and aft of the truck rather than off to the side.
I didn't realize that. That makes sense. That's pretty smart. So they use like a certain length of coax or something like that to do the phasing?
How it's hooked up, but something like that, yeah. They act together, and basically by changing the focus of the antennas, they increase the signal.
Yeah, so I'll have to pull up what your place looks like on Google Maps. But keep that in mind, like if you want, I'm usually free on Mondays and Fridays, and then if you ever wanted me to come up and like use that launcher thing to shoot the stuff into the tree, just let me know. And then, I mean, it kind of is better when it's like at least two people, because one person shooting it and reeling it back in, and the other person's kind of holding on to the wire or the rope or whatever to kind of guide it. So I did that with that friend of mine. He's a new ham. Trying to get him to actually use his radio on HF, and I think he feels intimidated about talking on the radio, but I sent him a message last night, like over Facebook, and I said, dude, you gotta get on the radio. I spoke to Poland and Czech Republic and Russia and all this stuff, and I said, just turn it on and you'll hear it. But there's so much stuff, and I bet it's gonna get better all through the summer.
New people, they're afraid to talk on the mic. I looked you up, but I want to make sure I've got the call correct. Are you on Garden Court Street?
Court Road. Or no, Sun Garden Court.
I want to make sure I had the right address. And if you look up mine, you'll find it. And you can zoom in on the Google Earth, and it'll give you an idea. It depends on what time of year the pictures were taken. I've got a couple that were taken during the winter, which is real nice because they don't have all the foliage out, but the others have foliage, so I don't know whether you can go backwards on Google Earth and find one during the winter.
So away on Google Maps, at least, where you can pull back the history of it. I don't know if you can do it on the aerial view, but you can do it on the street view. So if you... Some people have gotten caught with that kind of thing where someone's like committing a crime or something like that, and they pull it up on on Google Street View and they end up catching someone doing something, you can flip back, like, sometimes several years, but, you know, it's just whenever the Google car comes through the area.
Michigan, he was out cutting the grass when a truck went by, and they went on there, and they could see him out there cutting the grass.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It's kind of weird, though. Thinking about we're being watched all the time when stuff drives by taking pictures of us, but it's useful for some things, I guess. But yeah, that's. I'll have to. Or if you want to know what my website is, you mention your friends. Mine is just my last name. It's like Purtle, PURTLE.com. You can see all the stuff that I do on there with that, but ham radio is fun because, like, right now my girlfriend is in Florida with a couple girlfriends, and I'm home alone with the dogs, and I was just gonna try to solve something on the computer. I do my own website for the most part. I pay people to do some custom stuff on it, but I was trying to solve something on it and figured I'd just talk on the ham radio and do that a little bit and try to think over what I'm missing, because it's sometimes, for the most part, it always works great, but I did something with an update and tried to backtrack and reverse what I did, and it's still not back where I wanted it to be. So the way my site works is there's like three versions of it: development, test, and live. So I haven't messed up the live or the test version of it, so no one really knows that the website hasn't been updated, because it's working fine. But I'm trying to get the updates to work and push them up to the live site, but I'm not going to do that till I know it's working on the development site and the test site. But so that's what I'm kind of sitting here trying to think through. But talking on the ham radio is more fun.
I'm off pretty soon. The site I gave you about Maddie, my brother sent me the note with it. She's got two short songs that she they call it a showcase, an audition, I guess. She went to Penn State, just graduated, and she was in the musical theater department and has done all kinds of stuff with that. So she might have some ideas for your daughter as far as what it is to get into theater. My brother is a photographer. He went to school out in Pasadena, got his degree, then went to New York. The problem is he's a good photographer but not a businessman, so he can never get it going as a business. And that's one thing your daughter needs to realize, that she's in a business and it's not just dancing. She's got to understand a whole bunch of other things too.
Yeah, I'm totally aware of that. I make a living at teaching trumpet and being in brass instruments and being a professional musician, and I know lots of other musicians that don't. They do dumb things and they don't run their business the right way, and they don't charge enough, or they don't, when they're teaching, they don't get people to pay them on a schedule, or they just say, oh, take your lesson whenever you feel like it, and pay me when you come here, and then they wonder why they don't have as many people or they're not showing up. But My daughter has seen that with, like, my ex-wife is a really good woodwind and oboe teacher, player, and she's seen it for both of us with running our business and with doing ballet. Her ballet teachers are really good, but it's a couple, and she's seen things just with how they organize things, and she realizes that they could be better at that, and she sees that, so. And she's very, almost, like, obsessed about being organized and meticulous and on time, and everything. She's always been that way. So I think that she'll be, that's what I was saying, that aspect of it. And I think going to, one of the things that's usually lacking with people in the arts is they don't get any training with, like, running a business, like you're saying. So they, whether it's your, I think it was your brother, you're saying, the photographer, they don't do things in a way that allows them to make money, you know, but, or consistent money or enough money. And sometimes people that are in the arts are, like, afraid to ask for more money because they're like, well, if I charge too much, then they're gonna go find someone else. Or if I do that, maybe they get embarrassed to ask for it. And I kind of look at it as I've spent so many hours and so many years of my life and so much money on equipment and private lessons and a university degree and the teacher that I took from that was great and literally thousands of hours of teaching people that my experience and all that better be worth something. So if I'm begging people to take from me or pay me, then that's not good. And people pick up on that too. I think if you're too desperate to try to get someone to hire you or work, then they usually think that there must be something wrong with you. Or if you just do your job and do it well, and they'll see that you're different than the other people. And I think that's one of the things with music and the arts that is so hard for some people to think that way. But thankfully, I've got some friends that do. And when I was out in Los Angeles, and the teacher I took from was like that, and the musician friends I was around, they all thought like that, and it caused me to be able to do better. So, but I didn't learn that from college. So that's why I think sometimes the college degree doesn't give you everything you really need, and you need to actually hang around with people that are successful to kind of figure out what they do. And you'll learn probably as much or more doing that than sitting in a class.
With you on that, and I think the college needs to be looked at as a broadening type thing about the world we live in, as opposed to just an economic experience. And it has turned into an economic trade school rather than broadening the experience about life.
I agree. I mean, like when I was in school, I went to a school out in California, California State University, Northridge. It's probably about, I think maybe like, at least back in the 90s, it probably had late 80s, early 90s, probably had maybe like 30,000 people, and it might be bigger than that now, but it was a nice school. I felt like I learned a lot of things about different subjects that I'm glad that I learned about. And some of it, you know, I think was coming from a slanted bias, but I mean, I think some of the things that got me to think clearer about things, and with my music degree, it was stuff that was good information, but where, you know, if you're going to perform, you've got to perform to get experience with that, and it's just, you know, like sitting in a class is not going to do that, but, you know, that gets missed on a lot of people. I see people coming out of school with music degrees where they don't know what to do, and you ask them a question like, well, what do you want to do? And they're like, oh, I don't know. I guess I'll go back and get a master's. Then what are you going to do with that? I don't know. I'll get a doctorate. And then they really don't know, so they go back and get another degree and another degree instead of thinking of their degree as a way to accomplish something. Like, I knew when I got a degree, I wanted to, like, learn more about music so that I was a more well-informed person and well-informed musician, so that I was more knowledgeable instead of just, you know, just being able to play the trumpet. So there's certain things you take, like music theory and history and counterpoint and form and all these things that you can play music without knowing that, but by knowing it, you, like, look at it and you can, like, see a bigger picture, so it makes you more well-informed. But some people think that if they just go and get the degree, automatically they're going to go get the symphony orchestra or something like that. And the way it works with music is there are people that are the best, you know, studio musicians and stuff like that in California that they didn't even graduate college. And it doesn't matter because they play so good. So they put their time into practicing instead of anything else. So that often gets missed. And then the students come out of school with hundreds of thousands of dollars of student loan debt, which I think is really dumb. And then they're trying to get a job thinking they're going to work at a university and make like maybe like $50,000 or $70,000 a year, and they've got like a couple hundred thousand dollars of debt and their car payment, and they're starting to buy a house, and then they're telling us that we need to like forgive their student loan debt. And that kind of makes me a little bit mad because I'm like, man, I didn't do that. So I don't expect to go pay for their mistake with that. But I mean, I managed to do it a different way and go to a school that I could afford, you know. But I think maybe some of this stuff will change over time. We'll see. AC6IW.
It sounds like you got your daughter on the right track, so that sounds good. I think I'm going to call tonight, but I'll definitely be in touch. Send me that email so I can send that file to you.
I gotta go take care of the dogs a little bit, and I'll do that a little bit. Might be either later or maybe in the morning or something. I'm starting to fade out a little bit, but I do need to try to think through what I can't figure out on this stuff right here on the computer. But it was great talking with you, and I know we'll talk again. WD8RON, this is AC6IW. Over or clear. Have 73s and have a good night.
Hey, W, this is WD8RON. Good talking with you. I'll talk to you later on. Out.